Miss Tina, would you come up?
I'm coming. Glory be to God. I'm coming. Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. My God. Father, he knows how to meet us in a room. How about that? He knows how to come. He knows how to orchestrate. He knows how to pour out. He knows how to speak. He knows how to revelate. He knows how. He is very good at what he does. Come on and give God some glory and praise. You can't pay him. You can't work hard enough. You can't do hard enough. You can't dress up. Look at me. You can't even dress up to please him. He's good at what he does. And the more that I'm learning how excellent he is at it, the more he can move in a new grace for all of us. Glory be to God. So that's what's happening with me and Pastor Chuck. We're understanding that he's excellent at what he does. I feel that anointing right there. He's excellent. He's excellent at healing you and healing your mind, healing your heart. He's excellent about coming into a disastrous situation and cleaning things up. Hallelujah. He's excellent. I'm releasing an excellence over you. He's excellent when he is knowing how to speak to your children when you don't even have the words to say. He's excellent at doing so, ministering to the hearts. He's excellent at it. My God, he's excellent about his movement into a situation. Don't ask me how he does it. But you can sit there and put together a whole showdown of how God's going to move in, and none of it works. Come on, somebody. And then all of a sudden, showdown shows up. Glory be to God. He's excellent of how he moves in, Tracy. He's excellent how he gets into your home, even when the door is closed. Come on. Don't ask me how he do it. Come on, somebody. But baby, he shows up in that house. It can be disarray upside down, but he gets in the house and peace be still. Glory be to God. He begins to do great and mighty things. I'm seeing how he do. He's teaching me in another form and way of his excellence. He says, I'm good at what I do. We have been helping God too long. We've been helping him. And it is not good to try to help God. It's not a good thing. Especially when you think you're doing it right. And all of a sudden, the surrendering and the crying and the going back to the drawing board happens. And he begins again. Dear hearts, that's why we're here this morning. Because we all went back to the drawing board. Somebody give God some praise. Help me so I don't start crying. I cry over things like this. I cry over getting another chance. I cry over getting a new grace. I cry over a new anointing. Come on, somebody. I cry over a new power. I'm sensitive to God when I know how he really want to move and I'm letting him in. When I know I broke what I had to. You ought to celebrate that you've broken something through yourself. Give yourself a hand and applause. That you're actually getting up for Pastor Chuck's first services, and we're hauling inside of this building. Glory be to God. Excited. I'm running stop signs and lights too, Jesus. I just say, Jesus, Jesus. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. I'm like, Lord Jesus. They're probably looking for me right now. Glory be to God. But I want to be quickly, because just in case the Lord want to do some ministry, there was great ministry this morning. Up here, it was some birthing, some breaking out going on, and it was just major. Come on, somebody. And all of the women that I saw and the men that I saw break and crash, how many know that mountain has already moved out your way? Come on, somebody. So I'm not trying to move the mountain. It already moved for many of you sitting right here. in the name of the Lord. Things happen in the building. Sometimes you got to get offline and come in the building because mountains were moving this morning. They were getting out of our way. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. So I did catch something from the Lord and a week or so ago, and it's just been in my spirit of now of a visitation of fire, visitation of fire. And so, you know, it's like a fire going on, and we're coming in here, and it's stirring us. It's stirring us. It's something happening within. It's something motivate us, drawing us near to Him, near to God, and breaking down some stuff. And the Lord say, visitation of fire. So some of you are getting ready to have a visitation of fire, a one-on-one fire in your life. Somebody's receiving that in the back. He says, I'm getting ready to visit you. I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm probably talking to everybody, but he says, I want to visit you and I want to have a visitation of fire. And so I think when we embrace it in such a capacity of what it is, you know, we're not calling this Tina show or Chuck show. We don't have the good words to say about it. Nothing but fire. That's it. So we don't move into our own creating. We just stick with the Creator. Glory be to God. And so that's what we've done, and we've realized fire. And we realized it at the reset of the beginning of the year. And just by being reset, he's now given us fire. And that's good news. So the first of the year, I'm just going to speak three things. Reset, revisit, revival. So reset, revisit, revival. I don't know where you're at in this. I don't know if you're still being reset. I don't know if you need to revisit, because that's the day if you do. But I can tell you that you're on your way to revival. Glory be to God. You don't get all the goods from God and become stale and cold. You get all the goods from God and you become the blazing fire of God. Hallelujah. You become the blaze. They see you coming. They say, here come the fire. Glory be to God. You walk in. They say, the fire just walked in. We can all warm up. We're good now. Glory be to God. Reset, revisit, revival. I'm going to expound quickly from the scripture, Luke 24 and 29. I just was been in this, and I'm reading this, and I just get excited about it. And I said, Lord, I have to share this. So Luke 24 and 29, because, you know, I wanted to find out what happens after I want to expound and exhort to you this morning about what happens after you let that fire touch you. What happens when fire comes into your life? What is it supposed to do? Or what is there for? How much are we supposed to receive from it? And after we receive from it, what's the aftermath? Do we go back to old? Do we try to go and do what we've already done and it didn't work? What happens after the fire of God, the revival of God comes in? There's two men that kind of wanted to hang out with Jesus. They hung out with him. I don't know how long they hung out with him, but I'm saying 5 minutes with Jesus is probably a lifetime for me. Come on and give God some glory. 3 minutes with Jesus is probably your lifetime. He probably can tell you something in 3 minutes. that changes your life forever. And every time the devil try to come in, you say, I remember the 3 minutes with Jesus. And I mean, those 3 minutes is still keeping me today. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about remembering the fire and the fire of your salvation. When the devil come and say, you ain't saved, you don't know. I remember that 5 minutes when I cried and they was on the floor with me and they stayed down there and I broke benches down there in the church. And I mean, it was just hilarious. If the devil ever tried to tell me something, I say, I remember when those tongues came out and people thought I was crazy. No, I remember being with him. Talking about the visitation of him. I'm talking about the 5 minutes. I'm talking about 2 minutes. I'm talking about that quick 30 seconds that we pull in and boom. I say, whoa, something just happened to me. I decree that something is going to happen that'll never be changed and you'll never forget it. We think that we've already experienced it. We think we already experienced it. But it's more to experience in God. He desires for you to go glory to glory. Thank you, Father. So it was some men that wanted to hang out. That's where I take my glasses off to read. That's, you know, fire is hitting my eyes right now. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to start at verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. Read the Amplified. It says, then they drew near the village to which they were going. And Jesus acted as if he would go further. So they had got to a stopping point. But Jesus seemed like, I can go on. I don't have to stop right here. So they had got to a place where they can settle some things down and get to know him a little bit. This is after the resurrection. This is when he is in a resurrected, powerful form. What does that mean? That's the form that you're witnessing today. You're not witnessing Christ walking and walking and sacrificing for you. You're not here to witness how he was up on the cross for you. You're supposed to be witness the aftermath of the resurrection power of God that's resting in him, that's releasing to you in Jesus' name. Amen. That means we can't preach the cross too long. We have to say his power came. I hear somebody said amen on that. So, but they urged him and they insisted. I think that's how we have to be today. Urged him and insisted, saying to him, remain with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent. So he went in. And he decided to stay with them. Verse 30. And it occurred that as he reclined at the table with them, this is what I love. He took the bread, he took the loaf, and he praised God, and he gave thanks, and he asked for a blessing. He broke it, and then he gave it to them. He broke the bread. He broke some bread, and he gave it to them. 31 says, when their eyes were instantly opened and they clearly recognized who they was with then, him, and he vanished and departed. And once they were overtaken at the table by eating the bread of the life, 32 says, this is how their conversation goes on the next round. And they said to one another, were not our hearts greatly moved and burning within us just while he was talking with us on the road? And as he opened and explained to us the different scriptures, and rising up that very hour, they went back to Jerusalem where they found the 11 apostles gathered together. And those who were with them, who said, the Lord really has risen and has appeared to Simon Peter. Somebody say, visitation of fire. They were among the bread of life. He was in a state then like he's in a state today. The state that he was in was not the state that he was walking with Mary, being the son of Mary. The state that he was in this hour, he was a true resurrected King of glory. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Come on, somebody. I feel him moving even now, because you got to understand now who's with you. Oh, glory be to God. You got to understand the state he's in now. He's in a different state this morning for somebody. Come on, somebody. You know, at one point, he was just a helper with the light bill. Come on, somebody. But I believe he's in a different state where he's a consuming fire to your life. Come on, somebody. Where he take care of all the bills. Come on and give God some glory. We can't just pull on him for one thing. We need to pull for the whole thing. Glory be to God. It ain't just because he gave you that one blessing. You shouted on that one blessing, but you forgot 80% of your life over here. Come on, somebody. That state is blessed too, because he wants it all. Before you leave out of this building today, you're going to recognize Christ in a different state. You're going to receive him from a different state. You're going to receive him from a different place, because he wants to have a visitation now. So the way he sat down and broke bread with those two was different in the original place. He was having reigning in a power place. That means that now if you come and conversate with me for 2 minutes, there's going to be a fire burning inside of you. Glory be to God. Now, if you come into me, I'm going to leave evidence that I've been, that you've been with me. Come on, somebody. Come on and give God some praise. Come on and give God some praise. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout fire. Somebody better shout glory. State that I'm in now, I want to leave you with something. The state where I'm at and where I want you to have this visitation with me is that once you leave from my presence, I want the evidence to be in your life. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about evidence today. You're healed in Jesus' name. Come on and give God some praise. That the evidence, somebody say evidence. The evidence. This is not hype. Why? Because when you be in his presence, he'll leave you with evidence that you've been there. Somebody tell him, yes. These two guys had a pleasure that time. They was going with him in this high state of glory he was walking in. He wasn't the same anymore. It was different because of his place of power and glory. And they thought it was going to be an ordinary visit, but the anointed is attractive. It attracts you. The anointing pulls you. It makes you, it pulls you, and it started pulling to you. So when they just had a normal walk with Christ, they wanted more. He was well able to keep going, but they say, no, let's just sit right here. And he knew what they wanted. What am I saying? In his presence, he knows what you want. Come on, somebody. He knows exactly what you want. You don't have to even go into, last night, I don't know why, and Jesus, I help me. You ain't got to tell Christ. You release from your heart in his presence. Somebody going to be in his presence different. We don't need to waste a lot of complaining in his presence, because he's the one that clears it all. Come on, somebody. He comes in, and when he comes in, he just wipes out exactly what you need. Thank you, Father. When the Father showed me that Christ broke bread and gave it to him to eat, he blessed it. He thanked God for it. He was giving them his life. Come on, somebody. He was giving them the bread of life. It was symbolic of the bread of life. When I walked in and saw the table set and the bread is on the table, how many know that we're going to eat the communion, the bread of life this morning? He was given the bread. He was like, I'm going to give you me. I'm going to pour myself into you. And it's going to be evidence that you have been with me. Accessing your life through the power of God. After they left, this is what they said. Did not our hearts burn? But immediately when they ate the bread, and in those few minutes of his presence, the eyes was immediately open. We talked last week about the identity. The identity, one of the key factors that happens when your identity shows up is that your eyes open. You can see yourself in a different state. Come on, somebody. That's your identity. Come on, come on. This is something that somebody needs to really walk out of here with. It's because they were sitting with somebody in a different state and place. The same as your identity when you receive it. You see yourself in a different state and place in Jesus' name. Somebody tell him yes. Because if you keep seeing your identity where it is, you're going to keep walking in that low place of identity. If you keep seeing it where there's no evidence of power came and visit you, then that's the identity that you lay hold to. But when you allow for the presence and something to really truly happen in another form that comes in, that's when you tap into the opening of the eyes. I want to identify with you this morning is that your eyes is getting ready to come open. And you're getting ready to see yourself in a high place. There is people that's already awakened to their identity. They've already seen exactly who they are. And they are pressing in to the Father. Because once you see who you are, once he reveals it, you got to stick with him all the way now. Come on, somebody. Because you can't get there on your own. He's going to have to help you with that new identity. Come on and give God some praise. I say he's the one that got to help you with the new identity. You can't get the new identity and get the big head at the same time. Come on, somebody. You can't get what Christ has for you and then think, I got this now. Come on. I'll check with you later, Holy Ghost. No, you can't get on that street. You got to stick it out with him now. Come on, somebody. When he reveals to you, when he gives to you, when he raise you up, when he show you who you are and who he's bringing you to be, that's when you got to make a partnership with him. Somebody tell him yes. You can't leave him and say, oh, I know who I am now. The beautiful thing is when the eyes open and you realize who you are. The beautiful thing is the intimacy that you come back with the burning heart. It's twofold. Your eyes can open, but your heart got to burn. Why did my heart have to burn when I find out my identity? Because the burning heart is the only heart that's going to go back to him. When your heart is not burning, it's easy just to have an identity. But when your heart burns, you keep running to him and running to him and running to him, and you won't stay out of his face. You may have a small break and tell him, hey, peace, I'm out of here. I gotta go. You might be that I gotta go person. I gotta go. And everybody's wondering, why you always got to go? Where you got to go? Where you got to go? Why you can't stay that long? I got to go. Because you understand the burning heart pulls you to him in a way. It pulls you away and to him in a way. That's what a burning heart does. It's twofold. And this is the hour that the hearts would burn. I see the identity. I see the eyes opening to the identity. And at the same time, I see new hearts are being able to burn for the Lord and doing things His way. That's when you know that your heart is burning for Him. How do I know? Because you'll do it His way. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Just take the rebuke out or just say, keep going. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. The way you know that your heart is burning is because you will do it His way. You say, no, I can't. I can't. I'm going to do it His way. Because my heart is burning. And when your heart burns, you seek to please Him. He left something with them, which was the bread of life, would open the eyes. He had given them a new purpose to live and how to live. So I wrote down here that what are the things that we're using to access life, future, and children and things. What are the things we're using to have access? That means that after the visitation and the fire burning, you should have a new access to life. I heard Justin minister Wednesday in the area when he got to his wife. It was an area, it was a moment that it was real. Because his pleasure towards the Father is there. But now he has a new access to his wife. Come on, some. He has a whole new access level to her now. Meaning that when you're in that place and something is happening to you and you're burning, you have a new access to the things around you now. And we need to walk through those gates. And we need to come through those access doors the way that the burning of the heart for the Father is telling us to come through. Glory be to God. If we use that access, we're going to see much things different in our lives. Somebody tell him yes. You'll see a whole nother level of difference. You'll see a whole nother level of normal. You'll witness something that you couldn't even believe you can witness just by your access coming through the door of him with the burning heart, with the fire and the power of God. If you get up and you go on your job through a new access level, you're going to see a whole nother level of movement upon your job. Use the tools that he's giving you. Use the tools. This fire that I see burning, he's giving tools. I see he's giving out tools. He's handing out new tools now. So when I was driving, I was thinking, you still want me to say use the tools? He said, yes, because I'm giving them out. I'm giving out new tools, new strategies, new moves, new ways of doing. And so he took me to this scene when we had bought beds from IKEA. And if you ain't, and then you can buy beds from these other strange places too. And when you buy these beds and these furniture, and you got to get home and you got to put them together, you can't go get your tools that you have. You didn't pay thousands of dollars for it. You can't get those tools. Come back to that bedroom set. Start putting it together. You got to use the tool that they put inside of the package that came with the bed to put the whole set together. And after you put it together, save the tool. Keep it. Put a tape up under the cabinet. Tape all the tools up under the cabinet. Them special wrenches that they have. Because if you lose it and you want to tighten something up, your tools won't tighten that up. You got to use the tools that came with it. You will strip the whole thing out. I'm talking like I know, don't I? You will strip, even if you try to think you can do it and you got muscles to put that abnormal wrench in there. When you turn it, you're going to strip the whole out part, inner part of it, and ruin the whole thing. And now you're stuck with it right there. Wherever it's set, that's where it is. Because it's a special tool that goes directly inside of that hexapentagon shape that turns and tightens that whole thing together. What is the Lord saying today? Is that when I'm with you, I'm giving you tools. Come on, somebody. Oh, somebody tell him yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. When I'm with you, I'm giving you the tools. When I'm with you, you don't have to go in the back and get granddaddy's toolbox. You don't have to remember how grandma did it way back when. The way my mom made those collard greens back then was awesome. But I don't really remember because I got a new way of making collard greens. Come on, somebody. Hers were good, but he's giving me a new way. So there's no need for me to have to call her and she got to remember. And you put her on the spot every time you call her. If they're not ready for the phone call, then you got to wait 5 minutes for her to start collecting all the data. Yeah, mama. Yeah, we doing good. Yeah. But what you putting on greens? Now, let me see. Now, I know. And she will go into that 1, 2, 3, 4. We don't have time for that. Because if he's giving you new tools, go ahead and use what he's giving you. Come on, somebody. And it's going to work just as good. It's going to be just as good as what you know of. Who's ready to use the new tools? It's time to use the new tools. And he said it clear to me. Use what I've given you. You're not using what I've given you. You can't get in this and get so far ahead that you start using your own tools. You got to get in this and you got to use the tools that he's given. He says, I release tools in my fire. From my fire, I release tools. I release fresh winds of favor and grace and anointing. I'm falling in love with the anointing this morning all over again. I fell in love with the anointing this morning like I never knew the anointing. Come on, somebody. Is it real? Yes, it's real. It's real to fall back in love with the anointing. That's why when he told me for every individual that had came in the building, he said, anoint my people now. And so that's when I went and obeyed him to anoint the people in the building. He said, anoint them for service that I may fall upon them. And one point of the visitation of fire is the connection of God coming to revisit, to put in a revisitation of fire in your life. And this is an individual, this is a personal level visitation. Because we have to trust the consuming fire. What do you mean trust it? That means that if there's other areas around you that's not right, we have to trust that what he give you, you go and make it right. Come on, somebody. We have to trust the consuming fire. We have to now trust that the fire and what he put and the anointing and power that he placed upon you is going to be so huge and consuming that it comes back and it goes and sustains every area of your life. That means you can do less bringing life to him. Come on, somebody. He's going to give you life to go back out and live it. He's giving life in his presence. Somebody need to hear. He's giving you life during that time of presence. He's pouring something. And this morning, I don't know if I was eyes closed or open. The mountain moved out your way. Soon as I saw the mountains and I said, this type of anointing is moving mountains. By the time I got in front of Justin, the mountain had moved. Come on, somebody. That's for everybody. The mountain had moved. So over here, I saw the mountain, but by the time I got here, it had moved. Well, did it move by my words? No, it started moving by his power. Come on, somebody. It started moving by fire. Because the way it swept through this morning, it begins to push out what needs to be pushed out. The visitation of fire is among us. One last thing that I want to pull out, which is two things. Displaying is two things. I'm going to use my minutes all the way up this morning. Displaying and walking and releasing the Father's love. And I said this last week, the Father's love and the Father's power indicate that you have been with him. Let me say it over here. If you're not at the point of something releasing from you that you know is a new river, a new power, a new grace, a new anointing, then that is evidence that you have not sat and received and been, not that you haven't been with him, but you have not received it. People don't want to say that. That's bad. That's bad. It's time to say that the evidence of life of Christ through you, with you, around you, is getting ready to expose your receiving capacity from him. Can I get an amen? Just help me out. Help me out, Pastor Chuck. Help me out. Help me out. Help me out. Don't let them tow me out of here yet. Help me out. Don't tow my car. Carla, stand out there, please. They'll call the tow truck. They'll text the tow truck. Get up out of here. We're coming into a point of power. To the way that you walk, what's coming forth, demonstration of who you are, and Christ coming through you, is going to be the evidence that you've really been with him. Oh, you've been with him. People are going to point to you and say, oh, you've been with him. Ah, Jesus, I feel it. You've been with him. You know much about him. Old folks used to say, you can't tell me about him because I know too much. Come on, somebody. That's what my granny and them used to say. You can't tell me nothing about Jesus because I know too much. We're in the hour that the know too much is going to come forth. And then your life is going to exemplify and indicate you have been with him. There's evidence coming now. The demonstration is moving now. The demonstration of who you are and how God is releasing upon you is coming forth. And by all means, remember, the capacity of receiving has all to do with it. It's not a 50-50. It's not a 90-10. Because 99 just won't do. The old folks used to tell me 99 won't do. He wants a 100. When you're in his presence, he wants you to receive everything that he is giving you. Everything. From this day forward, you're not to leave nothing behind. You're to take him all with you to where he's living inside of you. And that's where we are, and that's where we're going. So your receiving capacity will have all to do with your next move in God. Your receiving capacity. Just like the two men. And this is the last point. The two men that sat with him. Two of them sat, but both of them received. Did not our hearts burn? Did you feel that? Our eyes was quickly open. That means they could see where they were going. And they know who they were because they had been with him. What am I saying? I'm saying, woman of God, that those men could have sat in Jesus' presence and not received nothing. They could have went back with a religious testimony, acting like they did Jesus a favor and he didn't do them one. You know, we seen him. That's a religious testimony. Yeah, he came to our house. yeah, you know, he was with us like all day. Moving fast forward past that type of religion to a religion to say, he been with us. He gave us him. Come on, somebody. When he came to my house, he gave me him. Come on, somebody. He broke bread with me. Come on, somebody. Then he gave it to me. He gave thanks. He thanked the Lord. He blessed the bread. He sat among us and he tarried with us. And then he gave us some bread. Come on, somebody. And quickly in his presence, my eyes were open and my heart was burning. Somebody tell him yes. When he was with me, he changed me. When I received from him, my anointing changed. When fire came, power came with it. And the things that I couldn't do yesterday, I can do today. Somebody tell him yes! That's the testimony of Christ, is that he's alive and he's living inside of me because I've been with him. He's given me something. For many of us in this room, he's given us something to go on. Go on with, go on what? Go on with life. What he's giving us is the tools to life. I'm closing and I'm going to be praying. I want a visitation to hit you. I want a visitation to hit you. For some, the visitation is hit you because he's giving out the tools to life. He's handing something to you. You may not need a whole lot. You'll be shocked by one tool for him. He has an adjusting wrench of attitude. Come on, somebody. He just turns it. Where that thing would never just let you be, he just turns it. And when he adjusts it, he makes it just right. And what he does from this day forward, I decree over you, will not be undone.